Family, we are in lesson 12 of our study for the quarter, and just very quickly bring us up to speed from where we began for this second unit, correction, this third unit, the deliverance accomplished, and we began on the first Sunday out of Egypt in Exodus chapter 12, verses 29 through 42. Last Sunday, as you know, we talked about pursuit of the slaves. That is, in as much that now Pharaoh goes after the slaves. We continue in chapter 14, and we are in verses 10 through 22. And the title of today's lesson is Crossing the Red Sea. Crossing the Red Sea. So the Israelites are being pursued by Pharaoh, and they reach a point of getting to the Red Sea, and unfortunately, they're at the Red Sea, but unable to cross. But we're going to learn today about our God and who He is and how He can miraculously and supernaturally do those things that in our sight may be impossible. But the Bible is clear that what is impossible with man is possible with God. Amen. As is our custom, if you would, please, ma'am and sir, we'll stand and read our golden text together, and then we'll move right into the lesson, if you will, if you can stand. Amen. And if we're all prepared to read, let us read. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Exodus chapter 14, verse 21. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't know about you, but if you've been living on the same planet that I live on, I will tell you that there have been times in my life where I exhibited a lack of faith and exuded more fear based on a particular or given situation, circumstance in my life that I was facing. Can anybody here relate to that? Amen. 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 I mean, if you're human now, don't try to deny that life can present us with some trying and difficult moments and times in our lives. And even though, yes, we're saved, sealed, and yes, we love God, but there are those situations as human beings that we have faced and perhaps will in the future face, where that faith may not be as strong because it's now being tested and we fear the circumstances. And we seem to forget that God is in control of those circumstances. As He displays His miraculous and wondrous power at the Red Sea. At the Red Sea. You do understand that everything that God does is for His glory. Even though the title of the lesson today says Crossing the Red Sea, remember in this unit and throughout the quarter, what we've been dealing with is God showing His power using even evil men to display His power and then get the glory. So it is in our lives. What's happening up there on Pennsylvania Avenue? If we recognize what God is doing through an evil man, that ultimately God will get the glory. We need not fear. Amen. The Bible is replete with story after story. God uses what? Evil men to bring judgment on His people when they do what? Disobey. The Israelites forgot everything that God was doing while yet they were slaves in Egypt. They entered the land with 70 people. They're leaving with some based on whose historical analysis and research you subscribe to. Some say upwards about 2 million. They were prospering. They were healthy. And now they get to the Red Sea, Because you do know it's all about what? Deliverance from trespasses and sins. What was the Israelite sin? Failure to worship God. Failure to acknowledge God. How many of us, not you but me, based on how far I've come, where I am, have failed to recognize who it is that allowed me to get to where I am? None of us got here on our own. Bible says, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Amen. Here it is. Here it is. Providence. What is providence? Anybody, what's providence? If you had to define the word providence, what is it? Providence is simply the protection of God over nature and his creation. We wonder how, wait a minute, the odds were seemingly impossible. How could providence? God is in control. How does a house right here get destroyed by nature, and yet the one within 10 feet of it, nothing? Or the house is destroyed, but the people survive. That's called providence. God's divine protection over his creation. Amen. Here it is. Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 through 22, some related passages of scriptures, and we're going to look at some of these as well. Psalms 106, verses 7 through 9, Isaiah chapter 63, verses 7 through 14. The author today says there are a couple of things that we must look at in order to understand the scriptures for today. Number one, the response to danger. We'll see that in verses 10 through 14. Number two, the plan for deliverance. We'll see that in verses 15 through 18. And lastly, thirdly, number three, the works of the Lord, Exodus chapter 14, verses 19 through 22. Now, what do we need to take away from the text today? Here's what we have to take away from the text. First of all, the facts are these. First of all, the Israelites, they lost faith in Moses and the Lord at the first sight of danger. We learned that last week, did we not? What did they say to Moses? Why did you bring us out here to die? We were better off in Egypt. Now, how many of us in our lives, God wants to deliver us from something that we know that is not best for us, and we seemingly want to go back? It could be a relationship, but I love him. No, wait a minute. But you told me you're being mistreated, but you know, he, or friends. It's like I tell my son, I said, son, let me ask you this. What about that friendship is so valuable to you that you cannot let it go? And yet, when you're making poor choices, and you're now faced with the consequences, look around you. Tell me what you see. See, you're standing there all by yourself having to deal with what? With life on your own. So if you value that friendship to the extent that the only way that that person wants to be a friend of yours is if you engage in behavior that you know not is best for you, then you don't need that friendship. You don't need it. Oh man, we need to go back to the old days, the way it used to be. Why? Really? The slaves here in the United States of America, some 200 or more years ago, they left the southern plantations and the treachery of slavery, whereby, here it is, they had a roof over their head, they had food to eat, they had clothes on their back, But yet they left with their slave masters in pursuit, running to what? Freedom. God is trying to deliver the Israelites, and they can't remember any of the good things that God has already done. And they get in the desert and say, we would have been better off had we stayed in Egypt. What things in your life that you can look back at and say, man, I wish I could go back. I'd be much better off. Everything God wants to do in our life is deliver us from that which is not best for us. Because God always has something better for us. He says in his word, I know the thoughts, I know the plans I have for you. Huh? Not to harm you, but to give you a what? A future and a what? And a hope. Amen. So that's what this is all about. Here it is. In the first out of danger, even though the Lord's presence was guiding them in the miraculous manifestation of the pillar of cloud of fire. That's the fact. Now, here's the principle. To understand that even when supported by obvious miracles, you know that God is doing a work in your life because you are different. You are behaving different. People by nature, watch this, are prone to lose faith when faced with fearsome threats. What are they going to think about me? Application. To remember that in the midst of the most fearful experiences in our lives, here it is, we must hold on to our faith in the Lord's constant presence with us and his ability to guide and protect us. I have a question for you. How is it that you would suggest that you can trust God with your salvation, but you don't trust him with your finances? You don't trust him to put food on the table. The Bible asks, is not the body more than clothing, more than food? Which is most important, your soul or food on the table? Everything that was happening in Egypt for the Israelites, it was God. He displays his power through 10 plagues. Not a single Israelite harmed. And more importantly, the 10th plague. The provision was what? Take the blood, wipe it across the doorpost. And then now, get in a hurry and leave. And oh, by the way, while you're there at the Red Sea, facing what you see in the natural, impossible odds, Pharaoh's army close behind, what then does God do? A pillar of fire that confuses Pharaoh's army. And God does the same thing for you and I when we think outside the natural. It's the spiritual. The Bible says that, listen, the natural mind can never understand the things of God because what? They are spiritually discerned. So really it's about the lens through which you see, isn't it? What eyes are you looking through? Are you looking through your natural eyes or are you looking through your spiritual eyes? We're not natural beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a natural experience. And it's our faith in God that allows us to know that even in our circumstances, God controls the circumstances. Here it is. Write this down. It'll bless you. God is not concerned about our comfort. He's concerned about our character. Did you get that? He's not concerned about our character or our comfort. God is concerned about our character. Amen. And we get it twisted. We want to be comfortable. But we don't want to work on what's most important, and that's our character. Amen. Amen. Adversity and danger will arise in our lives, and it will certainly put our faith to the test. But a faith that cannot be tested is no faith at all. Jesus was clear. He said, in this life, you will have what? Tribulation. But be of what? Good cheer, I've overcome the world. And he says that what? Trials come to do what? To test us. Even Jesus was tested. The Bible says he what? Was taken into the wilderness, whereby he was what? Tempted by the devil. And so it is in our lives. I think the writer in Hebrews writes it on this wise about chapter 4, somewhere between verses 12 through about 16, that, listen, God is not a man that he cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was like as we are, tempted on every side, but yet without sin. So even in the midst of circumstances, as it is with the Israelites, where is your faith? And do you trust the God who is ruler over your life? There's a couple of scriptures I'd like for us to take a look at before we actually get into our printed text today, if you'll permit it. Very quickly, God's ultimate purpose, my sisters and brothers, is to proclaim his glory to his creation. And no one's more passionate about that than God himself. God created you and I for his glory. Turn quickly to Isaiah chapter 43, verses 6 through 7, if you will. Someone go to Isaiah chapter 49, verse 3. Someone else, Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 11. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 11. Someone else, Romans chapter 9, verse 17. If you have Isaiah 43, verses 6 and 7, please, ma'am or sir, if you'll read there. Amen. That's you and I. God had a purpose when he created you and I. And everything we do should be to bring him honor and to bring him glory. Amen. And particularly in the life of the believer, once you've been changed, you do know the Bible reads clearly that if any man be in Christ, am I right about it? That he is what? That all things become what? Because old things have what? Been passed away. So now we live for Christ, and everything we do should bring him glory, should bring him honor and glory. Amen. That was Isaiah chapter 43, verse 6 and 7. Amen. Isaiah 49 and 3. Amen. Did you hear that? So here the Israelites are, they still don't understand that everything that God is doing, he's already called them, they are his chosen people, and they still don't get it. They're still in fear. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 11. Anybody got it? Jeremiah 13, 11. Yes, sir.
Whereas the sash clings to the waist of a man, so I will cause the whole house of Israel, the whole house of Judah, to cling to me, says the Lord, that they may become my people for renown, for praise, and for glory, but they would not fear.
Did you hear that? Boy, there's a lot there in that scripture, isn't it? You heard what he said? I like the metaphor. Listen, as a sash. Remember, even as they got dressed. So he uses clothing to give the image. Think about what you have on right now, how it's clinging to you. That's how God wants us to do what? Cling to him. And for what reason, Deacon Ray, read that again.
So I have caused the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah to cling to me.
Did you hear that?
Says the Lord.
And for what reason?
That they may become my people.
My people.
For renown.
For renown.
For praise.
For praise.
For glory.
For glory.
That they will not fear.
That they will not fear. Man. What a blessing. That's something to shout about. To know that we have a heavenly Father that cares so much for us, to understand that he created us for his glory. Here it is. Have mercy, Lord. Hebrews 13:5 says that what? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Romans chapter 9, verse 17. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? God uses even evil men, and I use that term generically for both genders, uses evil men to bring him glory. You heard what he said, that my power might be revealed in you, that all the earth may know. If you reach way back, going back even to Exodus 3, coming all the way up to where we are today in chapter 14, what did he tell Moses? He says, listen, I already know I'm going to harden the boy's heart. He's not going to let you go. I'm just telling you that, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to be my what? My messenger. Go tell him, and what did Moses respond with? Well, who should I tell him? Send it. Tell him I am. That settled it right there. I'm secure, I'm good. If you tell me to go tell somebody whatever the message is, and then I ask you, well, who should I tell him? And you say to me, I am, I'm, okay. okay, and you fill in the blank. I am what? I'm all powerful. I'm all knowing. I'm good. It's sort of like, you know, when the disciples and Jesus were in the boat. Storm comes up. Jesus sleep. They're afraid. If me, I'm getting in the hinder part where Jesus lay, right down there beside him. Because he what? Controls the sea. He controls the storm. Can you see it, saints? Whatever the circumstances are in your life, God is not surprised. He's not an absentee father. He already knows. The question is, when are you going to go to him and tell him all about your troubles? You know, the songwriter says, I must tell Jesus. Only he what can help me. And him alone. Amen. And the Israelites weren't getting it. Someone please, ma'am or sir, Psalm 106, verses 7 and 8, please, ma'am or sir. Now, listen. If after 10 plagues, number one, cause all the water to turn to blood. That's a life-giving source, is it not? Frogs, hail. And oh, by the way, and I really hit you in the gut when I do what? Kill the firstborn. And you still don't know that I'm God, I'm all powerful. You're that mean, evil, that you're still gonna chase after these people? And you think after 10 plagues that I'm just gonna stand back and watch you just. Notice, yet again, the writer in Psalm says, and I will do what? Harden your. Oh, here it is. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Don't ever, saints of God, harden your heart against God. That's a bad place to be. That's a dangerous place to be. Oftentimes, not you, but somebody else I know. Events, circumstances happen in their life, and they turn away from God. They get so emotional. They ask this question. Well, if God loves, why would he do? God is sovereign. And God can do whatever God chooses to do. Everything on the planet belongs to him. He created it, and he created it for what? For his glory. The Bible reads this way as it says, all of creation worships God. The whole of creation worships God. When you worship, amen, when you worship, and you begin to honor God with your worship, it makes your little situation seems minuscule. Because there's nothing like having a song in your heart and a praise on your lips. Every believer, and Lord have mercy on you if you don't. If you are a believer and you don't have a song in your heart and a praise on your lips, I feel sorry for you. The Bible says we ought to do what? Sing songs and hymns. Spiritual songs, making melody, where? In our hearts unto God. Man, if that don't put a smile on your face and bless you, I don't know what else will. You ever just walk around in the house or walk around outside in your yard or whatever, and the Holy Spirit just, boom, put a song in your heart, man, and you just, man. And oh, by the way, guess what? Even though physically you may be there, but guess what? It takes you to a whole nother place. Takes you to a whole nother place. You don't care who's watching. You don't care what's going on around you. You're just honoring God. There ain't nothing like it. Amen. Here it is. Lastly, everything that happens in God's providence ultimately results in his glory. Romans 11:36. Please, ma'am or sir. And then we're going to jump into our printed text. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. Everything that happens in God's providence ultimately results in his glory. Anybody got it? Romans chapter 11, verse 36. Everything that happens in God's providence ultimately brings him glory. Are you there? Listen to this. Romans 11:36. Oh, you hear me? What? Everything. Please, ma'am or sir, someone, if you will, read from Exodus chapter 14, those first two verses of our printed text, verses 10 and 11. Exodus chapter 14. In fact, go ahead and read down to verse 12 as well. Please, ma'am or sir. We're talking about crossing the Red Sea, and the first thing we're going to note here, in fact, Deacon Ray, read on down to 14 as well, the response to danger.
And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, how hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it has been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he would shew to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall fight your people.
Thank you, sir. Amen. Amen. Here it is. Here it is right here. Did you hear what they said? It would have been better for us, have mercy, Lord, to have stayed in Egypt to serve the Egyptians. And let's put it at our own doorstep. We'll put it where the goats can get it. Isn't it strange how those of us who have been delivered from the old life and our lives have now been renewed, yet still sin, the world, and the devil is always trying to do what? Pull us back. But James says, if we resist the devil, he will flee. And how do I resist the devil? By attending according to thy word, says the writer in Psalms, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen. That's Psalms 119, about verses 9 through 11 there. So listen to the mentality. They say it right here. Did you see it there in the text? Notice. It says here, verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, but behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were what? Afraid. And it says here that the children cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, now it's Moses' fault. It says, why? Were there no graves in Egypt? Why have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? But wait a minute, go back up to verse 1, and in that last phrase, and the children of Israel cried unto who? Unto the Lord. Moses is merely doing what? Following God's instructions. Amen. Remember, we talked about that in previous lessons where, i.e., particularly when we talked about the night that they were to prepare, and they were to get a what? A lamb and a what? Or a goat, okay? And dress it specifically the way they were instructed. In other words, don't deviate from the way I said, do this, A, B, C, D. Moses is merely following God's instruction. Watch this. And here it is, says, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone? How many of us get comfortable with our lives, with ourselves, become immobile, paralyzed, when God wants to do a work in your life and God wants to bring about a change in your life? Man, this is too good. What am I have to give up? And many people don't come to Christ because they hold on to the world. The Bible says like this, what will a man give in exchange, huh, poor soul. And then what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? And you watch the news like I do. And it's mind-boggling. It's baffling. You're a billionaire times 10. You own an island. And yet you die. And leave all this behind. And you weren't even saved. Have mercy, Lord. Here it is. God wants to deliver them, and they what? They want to go back. They want to go back. There's a song, I can't think of the artist's name. He says, I won't go back to the way things used to be. I can't go back. Anybody here want to go back the way things used to be? Think about your life. Look back over your life and tell me, what about your life prior to you coming in the saving grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ? I think it's over in John chapter 20, about verse 31. Someone go there real quick where it says, these things, I believe, were written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that you might what? Believe in him. Read it, someone, if you will, John chapter 20, verse 31. Amen. I love that passage of scripture. Anybody got it? John 20, verse 31. Doesn't that bless you? You ain't got life just because you live in a $500,000 home and drive a Mercedes, and you, that ain't life. Those things can be taken away from you just like that. And just like Jesus asked the question, now whose things shall these be? Life can only be found in who? So it's foolish, it's silly of them to ask such a question of Moses, is it not? To the extent that they're talking about, were there no graves in Egypt? And so Moses, being Moses, he says, listen, in verse 13, says unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and what? See the salvation of the Lord. Look back over your life, saints of God, amen. And remember, time after time, situation after situation, where it appeared that based upon your circumstances, you didn't know how you were going to make it. But God. But God. Me and some of the deacons yesterday, after our meeting yesterday, I was sharing, and I said, man, he was sharing with me about his son who's in the Navy up in Washington, and he was talking about, you know, how he has advanced rapidly and such. I said, man, when I first went in the Army, Deacon Ray, I don't know how I made it off of $200 a month. $200, and I was sending Mama 75 of that. You remember Deacon Burns?
I remember 105.
Yeah, see? $200 a month. Amen. Eating potted meat and sardines in the can, Doc. Amen. Listen, God will take care of you. We don't have to fear. We just have to do what? Starts with a T. Trust. We just have to trust him. Fear is a natural response to danger, but faith is the spiritual solution. And what is faith? Ah, I got you. I got it right here. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Believing is seeing. Mm-hmm. See, you're used to and accustomed to hearing it. What? Seeing has been, no. It's when you believe that you now see. Why? Here's what Jesus told Thomas. He says, Thomas, blessed are those who have not seen, and yet they believe. Because you told your brethren that what? Except I see the nail print and the scar, then I, but no, saints, you have must first what? Believe. That's faith. Believing that even in the midst of my circumstances, God is going to deliver me. He's going to make a way for me. Amen. The enemy will try to convince you that you were better off in bondage. How many, think about it, of those, particularly when you first believe, and maybe it's happened in the recent, I don't know. You have those with whom you may still socialize with, and they will say things not understanding who you are now. Trust me, go home and test that theory. I guarantee you that rascal is going to say something like this, I remember you when. That's the hook. Am I right about it? That's the hook. See? And there it is. The battle is where? Right here. That's why the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So when you hear that silliness, that's when you say, Satan, get behind me. Now you can resist the devil and he'll flee. Now, if we are believers, there is no reason to cower in fear. No reason. You gotta be a Peter and John. Remember over in Acts when the Sanhedrin told them, did we not straightway tell you not to teach in that name? Those rascals so raggedy, they didn't even want to call Jesus' name. They said, in that name. Peter says, I tell you what, we understand what you said, but it is better for us to do what? Obey God than man. There's no need to cower in fear, because watch this, God will fight for you. So therefore, you don't need to go on your job and act out of character. Everything you do, when you walk into your office, you arrive at your job, you're representing who? So everything you do should do what? Bring him glory. My daily prayer every day, man, I say, Lord, create an opportunity for me to be able to speak a word, to share, witness to somebody, to make a difference. Amen. It just ought to be that way. There's enough people who want to live raggedy and do silly stuff. There's enough of that. And I choose not to be one of those. I want to be one who is making a difference. Here it is. What? Deacon Ray gonna smile on this. What is our vision? What is Resurrection's vision? Servants of Christ, developing followers of Christ to share the love of Christ. That's our vision. And then the purpose is that we might what? Make a difference. And then the mission is to do what? Reach the lost at any cost. Amen. And these people, they wanted to remain in their trespasses and sin. And what was their sin? Failing to worship and honor God. Amen. Please remember, sir, verses 15 through, let's see, I need to go through 18. 15 through 18. We got about 8 minutes here. If anyone would, please. Amen. Thank you, brother. Listen. Verse 15, did you see it there? Now, this is the plan for deliverance. Okay. We see the Israelites' response to the danger that they're facing. Now we hear God's plan to deliver them here in verses 15 through 18. Notice what he says here in verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, this is him. Now put your name there. Says unto you, wherefore criest thou unto me? And how do you do that? Through prayer. You don't know what to do. You're facing a situation in your life. Seemingly you're facing impossible odds. You're scratching your head. You're calling whomever. And they can't help. What should you do? What means of communication do we have whereby we can do, talk to God? We do that through prayer. Bible says men ought to always pray, and watch this, and not faint. Luke 18:1. So Moses cries out unto the Lord. And then this, and watch this. And so God says this to Moses. He says, speak unto the children of Israel that they do what? It says they go back. Tell them to go. You sure? Let's see. Let me look at this real good. Did they tell them to go? Now, saints, now what should you do in the midst of your trials and your circumstances? Should you have a pity party? Did you give up? Where's your faith? Stretch forward. Move forward. And watch this and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. I love it. But live, and watch this. Here it is in verse 16. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. Notice God gives us tools to use in every situation, circumstance. You know the story about the college student that goes away off to college. And the parent gives the Bible, but in the Bible, the parent has put what is needed for the child in those difficult times. Child calls home. I need. The parent says, are you reading your Bible? Yes, I'm reading. Are you reading your Bible? Yes, I'm reading my Bible. Are you reading your Bible? Yes, I'm reading my Bible. Parent says, wait a minute, hold on. You know what? Let me get in the car. Go to the college. Where's your Bible? Parent gets the Bible, opens up the Bible, and everything the child needed was right there in the Bible. Here it is. Now, that's symbolic for you and I to understand. Every situation, every circumstance in our life, guess what we need to do? Boy, you all a quick study. It's a shame. And you know what? God has even given us and granted us tools that we never thought, certainly in our lifetimes, we would ever have. Man, listen, you got a phone, you got a Bible. You got an iPad, you got a Bible. And people won't read. And the answer is in the Word. It's right there in the Word. All you got to do is open it up. And there's the answer. You don't have to call your friend who ain't got no God in their life and no heaven in their view. Strange how people, you're a believer, trusting God, but then you're going to go to someone who doesn't have a relationship with God and ask them, what should I do? Amen. Now, listen. And he says right here, stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. That is providence. That is a miraculous event that happens whereby anyone could understand that, guess what? That there is a God. What other way could a sea from an east wind blowing such that the waters are divided to either side, dry land, and you go through? A pillar of fire that has the army of Pharaoh at bay. They're confused. They don't know what to do. And notice what he says. He says, and behold, I'm reading at verse 17, I will do what? Harden the hearts of the... And there are people on the planet today who are so mean and so vile and so vitriol and that they would be likened unto the Egyptians here. We're seeing it right now. We're not in the impeachment hearings. All these facts, and you deny them. You just got a hard heart. So much so, you play childish games and you call people out of their name and just say childish, foolish things that make no sense. But in the end, God's going to get the glory, even out of the current resident of Pennsylvania Avenue. Hear me well. Listen, read your Bible. It's right there. Remember King Nebuchadnezzar? Remember Belteshazzar? Yeah. The handwriting on the wall? The handwriting's on the wall. It's not if. It's just when. It's just when. All right, let's close. Verses 19 through 22. Let us read. We're out of time. Let's read together. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Amen. Now listen, here it is, a divine, miraculous event. Did you really catch what was stated here in verse 20? Look at it again. It says, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a what? A cloud and darkness to them, that is the Egyptians. But watch this. Man, look at this. But it gave light by night to who? To the Israelites, so that the one came not near the other all night. Do you not know that God will build a hedge of protection around you when your enemy seemingly has the upper hand or is about to wreak havoc in your life? The psalmist wrote it like this. He says, you are my refuge and strength. You are my hiding place. The Bible says the righteous run into and are what? And is safe. When you got God on your side, he's more than enough. Amen. Amen. So here's the last point we want to make. God's instructions are clear and thorough. Have mercy, Lord. All we have to do, watch this, is believe and obey. That's all we've got to do. Believe and obey. Anybody here believe him today? Amen. Then give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. I believe him. I trust him. Amen. That's my time. Thank you for your time. God bless you today. And Lord, say the same. We'll come back on next Sunday, and we'll talk about deliverance from Pharaoh's army. God bless you.